Anthony Hopkins as Alfred Hitchcock and Helen Mirren as his wife Alma in theaters November 23rd.
Columnist Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch joins us now for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne.
Legislative money committees on Capitol Square have been meeting to discuss what will happen at the state level if the federal government goes over the fiscal cliff. They're also concerned about the health care reform law exchanges, which seems to be in a state of confusion in many states. And they've heard a proposal for how to finance transportation improvements.
And is it the fiscal cliff or is it the fiscal curb? No doubt the legislative money committees, the Appropriations Committee in the House, the Finance Committee in the Senate, very nervous about this, particularly the impact that it might have on the state's economic engine, Northern Virginia, where all of those beltway bandits feed at that big public trough employing many, many, many thousands of people. You know, the paradox here, of course, is that you have a lot of anti-government Republicans, particularly on the House side, who are getting very nervous about losing the state's slice of the federal budget. And as we've noted before, about 26%, better than a quarter of the state's budget, is tied directly to military and federal civilian spending. So a lot of folks wondering, not quite sure what might happen, but urging some resolution. Health care. Governor McDonald was given an extension, a reprieve from Secretary Sebelius last week. A little bit more time to figure out the state's response. Governor McDonald, who was hoping the voters would veto Obamacare, says that he'll put together, or he's inclined to put together, a health benefits exchange, something that would allow businesses and individuals to round up coverage. But the Republican Governors Association, of which Governor McDonald is the departing chairman, would like even more time, and that might be possible. So it looks like there's going to be some give and take between Washington and Richmond and 13 other states in terms of putting in place a response to the president's health care reform initiative. Transportation. John Watkins, a state senator from here in Powhatan. We've talked about this proposal before, rolling out a package of tax increases. Would raise $734 million a year for construction and maintenance, offset with some adjustments on the personal income tax side, save Virginians about $513 million a year. Now, of course, Senate's not a problem. It's the House, the anti-tax Republicans. They're going to propose an alternative, one that's likely to draw dollars from other areas of the budget.
The Petraeus matter gets stranger by the day, and even our Central Virginia congressman has been connected with the developments in that case.
Our Central Virginia congressman, Eric Cantor, of course, the House Majority Leader. And why would someone want Cantor to have this information from an FBI informant that Petraeus was having this extramarital affair? Of course, Cantor is Barack Obama's adversary, and Petraeus was Obama's guy, and taking out Petraeus would embarrass Obama, and that would help the Republicans, and Cantor's a Republican. So I'm just saying that maybe this has to do with hardball politics and not necessarily with the discretions or indiscretions, excuse me, of a former CIA director.
George Allen gave an interview to your paper this week in which he acknowledged that he has probably had his last run for public office.
A remarkable end to a remarkable career. George Allen saying he'll not run for office again. This means he is consigned to a Republican bench of some other big-name, big-time multiple losers. Marshall Coleman, who ran three times for statewide office and was defeated. Wyatt Durrett, also three times. An amazing flame-out for a guy who really redirected Virginia, certainly as governor with the abolition of parole and the welfare a work requirement for welfare recipients. And, of course, this was before Bill Clinton, Democratic president ended welfare as we know it. Clearly, Allen's ascent in the 90s was a consequence of a new Virginia, the growing Republican impulse in the suburbs. His loss is certainly a consequence of a newer Virginia, the growing Democratic impulse in the suburbs.
The Quinnipiac poll this week showed that Democratic Senator Mark Warner, if he chooses to seek another term as governor, would probably have a real good chance of winning, but you've always said it's very unlikely that he will give up his Senate seat in Washington to come back to Richmond. Terry McAuliffe has said if Warner doesn't run for governor, he will.
Well, McAuliffe is running for governor. He's officially announced his candidacy. Did that last week. Of course, this is a rerun for McAuliffe. He was defeated for the Democratic nomination in 2009. He's also putting together a staff and announced some appointments yesterday. That Quinnipiac poll shows that 68% of Virginians don't really know who Terry McAuliffe is, if you will. The real Virginia, as George Allen once called it, have no real grasp of Terry McAuliffe and who he is and what he is. Of course, he's the big Washington insider.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a quick note, another candidate for the Republican nomination for Lieutenant Governor, Jean Marie Devilites Davis, the governor's Washington lobbyist, a former legislator, the wife of a former Congressman Tom Davis. It's interesting. The Democrats, meanwhile, having carried the state on a ticket led by an African-American, could very well put together a ticket in 2013 made up entirely of white guys.
Well, as we always say, in Virginia, at least, no sooner does one election end than the next begins. So let the contest begin. Thanks to Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, who joins us each Friday morning at this time.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News.